Blog Talk Radio.
Unbothered, impermeable, unbothered, impermeable, unbothered. I'm the people's champ, Obama, and you don't understand. Melania, you're permeable, unbothered, sick, allergic to the con artist. Fake woke, an imposter. Only real ones up in my roster, like Junior C. That's my
every time you say that. Oh boy.
Who?
Mickey Mouse.
Who do I remind? Oh my
Mickey.
God. Well, Mickey Mouse. Like, I look like Minnie Mouse in my ID, so you know.
Oh boy.
Oh God, that's terrible.
That is terrible.
Happy Tuesday. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Hello?
Oh man. Yeah, no, I'm here.
Oh.
This is a long rainy day.
How's Tuesday going so far?
How's the what going?
How's your Tuesday going so far?
Oh, it's just lovely. It's just lovely. It's rainy and rain. What?
I said, oh, there you go.
Are you making fun of me again? Are you making fun of me again?
Oh, this is insane.
You know, you really sound like Mickey Mouse. That's weird. And I'm the one that watches Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. Well, not anymore because he's too big for that now. But I used to watch it every day. Oh, my God.
That's funny.
I used to watch that thing every day.
Every single day.
Oh, my God. That's like that's what woke him up. Like, if he didn't have that on, he was not waking up in the morning. He needed to watch Team Umi Zumi. He's laughing at me. He's looking at me and laughing because he knows it's true.
That's funny.
Oh, my God, that's funny. Such good memories. Well,
right now.
And he's a grown-up. He listens to music and stuff like. He's like, could you download Tidal back up? What? Tidal? What do you mean Tidal? You want to listen to real music? He's looking at me saying, yes. I wasn't talking to you, sir. I was talking about you. Now I'm getting a pencil pointed at me. Sir. Well, and with the topic that we're talking about, I'm looking at the time, and I'm sure, as we just did, and as Christian is having dinner now, I'm sure that everybody, you know, probably has gone to get fast food or, you know, just something to end the night and then have food during the day. So the topic today is melanin and GMOs don't mix. So I was at, I'm dating myself because I don't know if it's dating myself by my age. I mean, Christian just laughed at me. I'm dating myself because younger people, I don't know if they know who the locks are. I don't know. Oh, is this? Oh, Daddy, I see you. Make sure we can hear him.
Hotep family.
Hello,
Sasha Kondike, how's it going?
Wonderful. We were just going to introduce the topic, but I saw you were coming on, so I wanted to say hello.
Okay, sounds good. I'm here.
So, and you're the best person to talk about it because out of everybody in the family, you are the healthiest because you have the discipline to be vegetarian. How many years has it been, Daddy?
It has been about 33 years that I have been a dedicated vegetarian.
Lord.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Listen, I was
on and off for a number of years.
That's excellent, because I was vegan for 6 months, and that's the healthiest I've ever been in my life. But then one day it was the chicken wings. The chicken wings are the bane of my existence, especially hot wings. I have not had them though. I haven't had chicken or turkey probably in like 6 or 7 months. So the only thing that I'm having right now is seafood, which I know is probably even worse than land food, because everything that we don't want anymore goes into the ocean. But like you said, like you always say, Daddy, moderation. So I'm working on getting rid of everything and trying to be better. But I'm glad that you made it on, because you are one of the healthiest people I know, you know,
right.
When it comes to stuff like that. So I think no, it's true. It's true. And you never forced us to eat or not eat certain things, but you made sure that we were aware of the things, you know, when you were teaching at New Pulse and you used to, there was a, you used to talk about the meat and stuff, and you made a vegetarian in every class. So I know that happened. I heard about it. You made a vegetarian in every class.
It was interesting because I used to always tell my students that there's going to come a time in the class where all of you are going to have something to say. And I would always say that like the first or the second class, never mention it again. When we got close to what we call misgiving, or some people call it Thanksgiving, knowing that they were eating all that food, I gave them my story about pork. And I would tell them, I would dramatize it. I didn't save the drama for the mama. I hit it hard. And I would talk about, you know, like I would start talking about the ham, and I would get them all enticed about, you know what I'm talking about, you know, side of ham, that thick piece of ham.
God.
And I would tell them, you know, what happens is that you get that piece of ham, and you grandma or abuela or whoever's cooking, mama cook. And I say, you know, when you look inside and you can see that the pork side is cooking, and see all the liquid
He's
coming from the side
right now.
And it's just seeping out, and it's coming down to the side of the pork, and it settles under the piece of pork, and they all saying, yeah,
oh, God.
I know. Oh, yeah, I remember.
Oh, God.
And I say, yeah, okay, now, what I want you to know is that, okay, now you have your big feast, and you're eating, and you're happy, and it's all good. Yeah, I remember, yeah, okay. And I said, but it's such a big piece of ham, you can't eat the whole thing. So you put it in the refrigerator.
Okay.
And then the next morning when you wake up, you take the ham out, you're going to make some ham and eggs, or maybe a ham sandwich, right? Oh, yeah, we're going to do that. Yeah, that's good. And I said, all of a sudden now, you take it out, but what you see is at the bottom, you see that the ham is sitting in something looking white.
Oh,
and they
God.
Say, yeah, yeah. I said, what do you think that is? Well, that's the fat. I said, no, that's pus. I said, because what you don't realize is that liquid that's coming down out of the ham as you're cooking it, that's all the toxins and the poisons that's inside. Thermonuclear reaction.
Oh, my God.
The heat makes it look clear. And that's the gravy that you put on the ham. But when you put it in a refrigerator, it returns back to its original state. That's pus. And I said, let me tell you something. Y'all know people that have that
so
have very serious acne scars, and
that
all of a sudden
so
there's a white head, and all of a sudden it gets so big it pops, and that white starts to flow down your face. I said, well, that's what you're eating when you eat that ham. You're eating the pig's pus.
Oh my God.
Now, let me tell you something. They have come back from vacation. They have come back from vacation, and they told me that abuela or grandma or mommy want to meet me because they want to know who ruined that big feast, because ain't nobody want to eat that ham. And I said, if you enroll in my class next week, I'm going to tell you about that turkey that you ate.
Oh, no.
What?
You know, I don't even eat it. I don't even eat that, but I still, oh, my God. Like, I don't even eat pork. I haven't eaten pork and beef in 10 years.
I tell them, I say, you know, when you see somebody with an acne scar and there's a big white head on that thing, if you're missing that ham, just put your lip up on there and suck that fuck out the butt.
Oh, God.
I'm just gonna get my nourishment from the sunlight. I'm just gonna be a breatharian. I'm not eating food anymore. Oh God.
Listen, let me tell you something.
No.
Let me tell you something.
Oh boy.
Make no mistake, I grew up eating that. I grew up enjoying it. That was my generation. But as I studied and I came to understand exactly what it is that we're actually putting in our body, it began to get to a point where I had to, once I knew better, I had to do better. And there are so many other wonderful things that you can eat. But I'm a vegetarian now, not for the biological reasons. I am now a vegetarian for spiritual reasons.
Ew.
Because I live by the fact that animals should not be killed simply to satisfy my hunger when I know there's so many other things that I could eat.
Right.
And it has nothing to do with healthy things that I'm eating. It has to do with animals have a right to live. And that by the cycle of life, there's predators and there's prey. That's nature.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's time for them to be eaten or killed by another animal, they will be. But I'm just at the point now where spiritually speaking, it goes against my belief system to kill an animal.
Right.
And GMOs, you know, you don't have the digestive enzymes to break down GMOs because they are not natural. Genetically modified.
But that's all about money.
Yeah, it's about money, but it's also about your life and your health. Because if you don't have the digestive enzymes.
No, what I mean is, the reason why the GMOs aren't created in the first place is because the companies want money, not because we need to save money, but because the companies want money. And there are too many people in the world to be able to eat naturally.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. But it's a process also, though, because I know what I experienced growing up. I try not to be sanctimonious. I try not to pontificate and to lecture people. Pontificate is, you know, to lecture people and to act sanctimonious, holier than thou, you know. To forget that one day, you know, there was a time that I ate cold pig feet, hot pig feet, pickled pig feet, chitlins, ham, bacon. I lived that life.
Oh, my God.
And I liked it. I enjoyed eating it. It was a learned pattern of behavior. But my thing is that as time goes on, when you know better, you learn. When you know better, you do better. But don't try to come down on other people who are in a place where you once were.
I agree. I have a question based on like what you just said you ate. What do you think of the concept that a lot of the foods that we think are soul food are actually slave food? That we had to make it so that it was good for us, and not good for us, but that we enjoyed it and it tastes good, and now it's become a delicacy, but before it was considered like just the scraps and what was left over.
I tend not to want to call, you know, well, I understand the term, but, and I understand soul food, I understand slave food, but like Christianity, we needed to survive, and they gave us garbage. Everything we ate, from the chitlins to the pig feet, that was all the things that didn't go up into the big house.
Exactly.
And our ancestors, with their internal genius, took garbage and made it gourmet.
Right.
For that, I'll be forever grateful, because that's what helped them survive.
Mm.
But like I say, once you know better, you do better. Like I say, to continue to practice a spiritual system that no longer meets your needs and solves your problem is like carrying the boat on your back after you cross the river.
Mm. That's amazing. Every time you say it, it's amazing.
And when you think about it, what was a blessing that got us across the water becomes a burden
when you're on land. Yep.
Now, that same story, Sasha and Candace and the community that's listening, that can be applied to food, too. That soul food that we ate is what helped us survive.
Right.
It allowed us to go to the next day. So soul food and Christ were the two things that helped us get across the water. But now that we're on land, the very thing that saved us becomes a burden. Might create disease. It might not be the very best thing we should be putting in our body. That's not to say that I would not be able to one day get sick. My regard and my practice with Dr. Sabi and Sister Ma'at has helped me through the years. But that doesn't say I can't get sick. I still can get sick. My body still can get sick. I am just doing everything possible to keep me healthy. Because so far, I feel good. So far, I am able. I have a little thing here, little thing there. Hey, listen, I know. I ain't 20 years old no more. I'm not 30 years old no more. But I am, I believe, healthy. And I have a clear mind for where I am in my life right now. And I think it has to do with my lifestyle. But not only that, it's something that I said to Nick Cannon in the documentary on Dr. Sabi. And it's something that I think we all should know and understand. Healing starts with self-love. Don't be putting all those herbs in your body and then gossiping and causing problems for people and complaining. Don't think that just putting the herbs in your body is going to make you healthy. You have to love yourself. You have to clear your mind of all the pain. You have to get on the first frequency, the Rastaman vibration, the one love of self and others. And that starts the healing process. Healing starts from within. It's not just the herbs that you take. That will help you. That will bring nutrients to your system. But what makes you healthy, wealthy, and wise is self-love.
Wow.
Healing starts with love.
Wow.
Unconditional love.
That's amazing.
That's the main point I tried, because everybody said, well, did you know people that were cured? I knew people, Sasha, when I used to take you down there, this was before Candace was born, or when Candace was just born. And I used to go and talk to Dr. Sabi. You were there. You were 4 or 5 years old at the time.
I remember going.
Yeah, I remember, and they would make you a little drink. They made you a fruit drink, you know. You know, I remember, you know, the idea is that to be healthy, you know, you just have to get up off the negative tip and you've got to free yourself
mm-hmm.
and get healthy, and you have
mm-hmm.
to fast. You know, there was a time, my time, your mother's time, in the Caribbean, down south, where your grandma or your mother was at the door every other Friday or every Friday asking you if you were regular. And that meant, did you go to the bathroom regularly?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And it is said that according to how many meals you eat a day should be how many times you purge solids.
Wow.
And that herb that grandma gave you was to ensure that what you ate came out. It wasn't like a laxative. It was just a herb that made sure that it acted like a broom that went through your digestive system and pushed everything out. Well, yes, but detox and solid. And so what we have to do is fast. How many, when you think of young people that mm-hmm. eat at McDonald's, Crack Donald, Murder King, Haunted Castle, Sunken Donuts,
you're eating all this stuff,
but is it all coming out? Is it all coming out? And if it's not coming out,
that's a problem.
That is what eventually, maybe not when you're 20 or 30 or 40, but as you begin to age and your metabolism changes, that just might be what creates a tumor that eventually becomes cancerous.
Oh, my God.
So from young, you have to keep purging your system. You have to make sure that the foods that you're eating are leaving your body. And if you don't, you have to find something as healthy as possible. I go to Dr. Sabi. I think Queen of Fua is very dynamic. I think that Paul Goss out of Los Angeles. I think that Dr. Africa, Laila Africa. There are many herbalists out here. I go to Sabi because of the nature of what Sabi does. But there are others that if you go, you go. That's all. But you got to purge your system. You got to get your toxins out. Not just your digestive system. A lot of people do the, you know, the idea of cleansing your bowels or your intestines. But you got toxins in your fingernails. You got toxins in your brain. You've got toxins throughout your body. You got to do a total cleansing from head top to shoe stock.
Oh, my goodness.
You got it in your blood system. You've got it in your nervous system. You got to block that stuff out.
You also got to do some people purging, too.
Well, that also. See, now, that people purging helps your mind.
Right.
That's the purging of your mind. Your friends or those who you think are friends, you need to purge. And you see, the thing about purging is purging has no prejudice. Anything that's a toxin, it'll get rid of. It ain't trying to be friendly. It ain't looking for friends. If you've got somebody out there that is not healthy for your thinking, you got to purge them.
Yep.
No prejudice, no anger. You're not good for me. When I'm around you, you give me negative vibration. When I walk away from you, I'm asking myself, what the hell did I just experience?
And that, but those kind of things can lead to eating the improper things because, you know, and it's never an excuse, but sometimes when you're stressed and when you have bad energy, it throws off your health and the things that you're eating. It makes you want to eat things because you're stressed out and you don't even realize that you're eating because you're stressed out. Because it's not stress that makes you gain weight. It's eating while you're stressed out that makes you gain weight because you don't even realize that you're eating sometimes.
That's it. Yeah.
So even all of that mental health can attribute to physical health also.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, mental health, it does. Everything starts within the brain.
Yeah. It does. Absolutely.
It's something that you must be aware of. And, you know, like you said earlier, the one thing that I've always emphasized is moderation is the key. Remember, I'm a vegetarian.
Yeah.
I'm not a vegan. Mm-hmm. I enjoy a piece
of
cake every so often.
What are you not?
I'm not
going to say that. Can you repeat that for the family?
I'm not a vegan.
For those of you that don't know Brother Cabba, that was vegan.
Oh.
Like Beyonce.
That's
my
his
bad.
Version.
My bad.
That's
my
his
bad.
Version.
You know,
you are very special, and you create your own words sometimes. But some people might not know what that is if they don't know you personally. So we were just translating from the Kaaba language into layman's terms.
But let me ask you this.
To layman's terms.
Okay, let's break it down.
You're grammatically?
Okay, let's break it down.
No, you're right.
And
let me
explain to you why I do what I do, because y'all up here talking about
you're
Beyonce.
Right, you're right.
And you keep saying Beyonce, and I keep saying Beyonce, and she spell her name B-E-Y. If it was Beyonce, it would be D-E-E. It's B-E-Y. Okay? So that's why you hear me say Beyonce. Now, let's go to vegetarian and vegan, okay? You say
it Atkins or is it vegan?
You're right.
But tell me this: do you say vegetarian or vegetarian? So is it vegan
right.
or vegan?
You're not wrong.
So
you're not.
Do you say? Well, it's a matter of perspective. Nobody's wrong as long as you know what I'm talking about. It's
Listen,
not so much
I
that.
Nearly...
that I have my unique way of talking.
Go ahead.
I have my own
that's why
way
I said
of talking.
They don't know you.
Yes, if they don't know me, because I drop it down like that, and I understand. So, vegan,
like
vegan, potato, potato, Beyonce, Beyonce.
I nearly got cursed out because I said broccoli rabe instead of broccoli rob, and I'm like, it is spelled R-A-B-E. Where
That's
do you
right.
get Rob from R-A-B-E? I'm so confused. I nearly got cursed out. And
wait,
I was so offended.
Wait. Mommy, can you spell broccoli?
Stop it. Stop it right now. Mommy, how do you spell spaghetti?
Uh-oh.
Can you say squirrel?
There we go. Oh, we're going deep now.
In Jamaica.
We
didn't
even...
You don't have to.
No, we got macaroni. That's what we got.
Macaroni. Oh, but that, listen, I get macaroni salad from this Jamaican truck in Midtown. Oh, goodness gracious. That is some good food.
You mean spaghetti salad.
No, they didn't even have spaghetti growing up. It was the size of macaroni.
Macaroni? Say squirrel.
Does mommy know that she's live?
Yeah, no, I know.
Mommy, say squirrel.
Hi, Mom.
Hey, she's been getting braver over the past couple of weeks.
I
it only took you a couple of months.
OMG.
She's like a Candace, like the back squirrel?
No, I said squirrel.
No, squirrel.
That sounds so cute. It sounds so adorable. Oh, look at how brave she is.
Jamaican. They like to make
now.
Up all words.
Right. All right, we've completely gone left. What are we even talking about now? Do we eat squirrels also? You know there's such a thing as roadkill. What is it called? The roadkill barbecue or something? Do you know there's such a thing?
No. They gave permission now that you can eat anything that you kill on the road, any deer, anything.
No,
I saw that on the
road. Oh, my God. You see, we're just getting unhealthier. You see, no. Mm-mm. No, unacceptable. Mm-mm. That's so unacceptable. I'm not for it.
When you go to those restaurants along the street, along the highway.
No. You know, that's
deer lives matter.
You know,
All right, I'm ending the episode. I'm done talking to you. People are listening. Like, what is wrong with them?
We went on so many tangents.
Okay. All right, I'm about to play a song. All right, we'll be right back. I'm about to play a song.
We'll get it together when we get back.
Let's regroup. We're in such a great mood. You think that we were all together and we're not even in the same room. All right, we'll regroup in a second. We're together in spirit, right. We'll be back in a moment.
Nearly lost my mother. In and out the hospital's a motherfucker. And the feds killed Jermaine like they done Mark. Little brother's gone to jail, it's too much for one heart. Baby, if I cried, would you respect me? If not, it's probably best that you neglect me. Baby, can you heal me? I can show you where it hurts though. I'm only human like Superman when he's in work clothes. I was told for you to be the man, you stay in work mode. I'm whizzing round like the pizza man the way I turn though. Harness, I'm asking you to place me in your harness. If not, I send my best regards, babe, regardless. Yeah.
They say the pain cuts deep, I'm just hoping that you mean don't bleed, no, no.
I'm good.
Nice song.
I love that song. And she's like, she's saying that she wishes she could heal somebody. And then when he started rapping, I was like, oh my god. When he said he's only human, like Superman and work clothes. Oh my god, that part of the song gets me every single time. And her name is Sinead Harnett. Sinead Harnett. Her whole album is nice. I'll let you listen to it next time we're in the car, Daddy. That whole album is really, really good. But that song, I think it was, you know, when we talk about healing, that song was called Heal You. So I felt like, we felt like that was really important to, you know, for that type of song to be played. Because a lot of us eat and do all these things because we're not healed, I think, and people are hurt, and people are doing everything that they can. Like, a lot of people, the only thing they can control is what they eat. So, you know, a lot of people sometimes have eating disorders because a lot of times the only thing that people can control in their life is the food that they eat. So they either don't eat or they overeat. And then when you're eating all these chemicals, you can't stop eating them, and then it begins to affect you, and then you need the chemicals, but the chemicals are killing you. But you also can't get rid of them. It's literally a drug. Like, it's literally, the chemicals are legal drugs because companies are able to make money off of it. And I think it's really important because I think that you can't heal, like, you can't start eating better until you heal whatever. And I think it's going with what you both were saying earlier. You can't be healthy and fix the problem unless you figure out what the problem is. And mentally, what's making us do the things and what's making us choose chemicals and choose things with GMO and choose all these unhealthy things, McDonald's and, or is it, what is it, Crackdonald's and Murder King? Like, what's making us choose, besides the fact that by the time we get out of work, you know, a lot of us go to work 6 o'clock in the morning, we leave the house, don't get home until 8 o'clock at night, we have kids, and you don't want to cook. But it's important. It's important, you know, even if you cook once a week, and then you make the food last all week. But we have to do something better and make it. We got to make it better. Like, we can't.
Yeah.
We can't keep doing this because a lot of us are really hurt and we're just sad and we're not doing what we're supposed to do because it doesn't seem like any situations are going to get better. A lot of us think that, you know, people are going to get cancer and diabetes and all these things anyway, so you might as well enjoy what you're eating while it's happening. But there's a lot of things that we can avoid. Go ahead, Dave.
No, I was just going to say, you know, we have to understand, and also when you study, hunger doesn't mean you want to eat. Hunger is a reaction to your body's cells needing oxygen to breathe. And the unfortunate thing is a lot of the foods that we eat, particularly that have a lot of salt, what it actually does, it does the opposite. It doesn't bring oxygen. It thrives on the oxygen in your body. So then you sit down, you eat a full meal, and then all of a sudden, an hour later, you're hungry. Again.
Chinese food.
But you're hungry.
Chinese food.
Yes. And there are others also, but yes. But you're hungry an hour later. The reason why you're hungry an hour later is because you have not satiated your cells needing the oxygen. In fact, the food you ate took more oxygen from you, and so now you're even more hungry.
Yeah.
And then in being more hungry, you continue to eat. Whereas if you had drank like 8 ounces of water an hour before you ate, water is H2O. The oxygen from the water would have got into your system and you would have been less hungry. The same thing when you eat a salad, green thing, plants give off oxygen. So if you eat a nice green salad, you're eating oxygen.
Mm.
And so in eating oxygen, it satiates the cells that want oxygen. So between drinking the water an hour before, you're less hungry. And then when you do eat, if you have a nice green salad, you get more oxygen. And so we don't quite understand, not to mention what we should eat, but more importantly, the time we should eat it. Because there your body goes through a change. The worst thing to do is to eat a big breakfast.
Mm.
That's where the word came from.
Mm-hmm.
Break fast.
Yep. Yep.
And what you need is a nice, fresh-made juice. Not necessarily too sweet. Put a little green things in there, a little spinach. You know, some other things that you may enjoy. You could put a little cucumber in there. Whatever you want. But a nice juice in the morning with some water. That gets you ready for your day. So and you should eat fruits or vegetables early.
But that's interesting because society tells you different.
They tell you to eat
a big meal. They tell you to eat, you know, all of these things that are probably hard for your body to break down, especially first waking up.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Breaking the fast.
Yes. Think about doing extensive, rigor exercise the moment you wake up in the morning. Your body's not quite ready for that.
Mm-hmm. That's probably why you want to go back to sleep after eating a big meal.
Well, that's when the itis kicks in.
Yep.
That's exactly what happens. Because your enzymes get a mixed message. Because now you're trying to go to work, but your body's trying to digest that big breakfast you had. And so then you think, well, if I have a donut or something sweet, it'll give me the energy.
Oh, man.
However, the donut or whatever sweet that you ate is now going to fall on you about 9:30, 10 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to get tired. So what do? You go for a coffee break. That's why coffee breaks are around that time. You then go for a coffee break. And you get your donut or your sweet and your sweetness in your coffee or whatever, your tea. And all of a sudden, by 12 noon, you're coming down off that sugar high. But now it's time to eat lunch. So by 2 o'clock, you're ready to snore. You're ready to kick back some saw. You gonna saw some wood.
Oh boy.
So eating is an art.
Mm.
You know the other thing that you can do is I tend to cut up my food very small. I also eat everything on my meal. I eat everything whatever I may have, I'll eat that. Like if I have string beans, I'll eat all the string beans. If I have collard greens, I'll eat all the collard greens. I don't eat different things on my plate. Like they say, take a little bit of this and take a little bit of that. No, that you're not supposed to do that because you have special enzymes that break down food certain ways. And what might break down mashed potato does not break down string beans, does not break down something else that you may be eating.
Mm.
So if you eat everything at one time, like all the potato at one time, or all the string bean at one time, the enzymes go to work. After you finish
but
your string bean.
How long in between these things should you?
You should always take your time. Enjoy. Chew it. You got to chew your food down so that the less you chew, the more work your body has to do because the enzymes, like if you chew four times and swallow, you're eating string beans. There's a lot of whole string beans.
Right.
Which means your enzymes
none
is going to have to do extra
taste.
Work. If you chew the string beans good, you're helping the enzymes when it's time for them to break down the string beans to bring the proper protein to your body.
Mm.
See, eating is an art. Eating is an art. And when you cut your food down real small, it's giving your body a chance to get ready to eat. But when they give you a half hour for lunch, what else can you do but wolf your food down?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So.
They don't care.
Well, it's something, but you have to care. That's the thing. They don't, but if you know they don't, you must.
Yep.
And there's things that, like, I downloaded. Because honestly, like, my day will fly by and I won't even realize. And it'll be, like, 3 o'clock and I haven't drank my water. So I downloaded an app that reminds you to drink water. It's unfortunate that we have to be reminded to do these things. But sometimes you have to know yourself and you have to know the environment that you're in and make changes. And make changes. Excuse me. I need some water right now. Make changes so that you're able to do the thing that you, because it'll slow me down and make me drink the water. Now I have water on my desk every day. But, you know, we got to start to learn ourselves and to learn our bodies. Because I don't think a lot of people, you know, we get diagnosed by a doctor, but the doctor doesn't know your body specifically. The doctor knows what was in the textbook. And it's going based off of that. But you're the only people that know your body in and out 100% and how you feel and what makes you feel good is you. So you have to know the things that work for you. Because not everything that the doctor says works for you, works for you.
It's true. It's very true.
So I think that's important. So there was a question. Let me read it and see your you guys' opinion on it. So what recommendations would you give to someone who struggles with eating as they always have and healthy eating? So, like, if you know that you want to eat healthy, but it's like a habit, I guess. Like who struggles with eating the way they always have and healthy eating? Like, you struggle between the two. What would you recommend?
Tante K, you want to take that first? Well, I would recommend is.
Go ahead. No,
I would
ahead,
just say start slow, start steady. Just start adding healthy things to your diet. Don't try to overwhelm yourself by going, you know, straight up that you're not going to do this, you're not going to do that, because sometimes you overwhelm yourself.
Right.
And when you go back double hard than when you left. Take your time.
Right.
Let your body, you know, respect and love your body. Let your body get used to a new regimen. If you've been drinking a lot of sodas, start to introduce some waters to your system first. Instead of always drinking soda, get a water. If you like foods that may not be that healthy for you, well, begin to add things to your diet. Maybe add some, I eat collard greens, maybe some string beans. You might, instead of going to eat something that's very sweet like ice cream or cake, maybe go for a smoothie.
Mm.
You know, and maybe freeze the smoothie. It could become an ice cream.
Mm. That sounds like a good idea. I'm going to take some notes.
You know, have mercy on yourself. You know,
you only get one body.
Look. We're all born in this. I was born into eating pork. I was born into eating kidney beans with ham hocks. I was born into that. Ain't nothing I can do about that. But little by little, I've added other things to my diet, and that's what I encourage us to do. Have mercy on yourself. Do it little by little. Enjoy it. Maybe get a couple of books on vegetarianism. Learn how to cook some things. Start to enjoy eating soup and salad. You know, learn because, you know, the food that I eat is very good. I enjoy eating. Make no mistake about it. I enjoy eating.
Mm-hmm.
And but I don't eat a lot. I always walk away from the table 85% satisfied. I'm always 15% hungry.
And then you have water.
To a certain extent, I like seltzer water. I drink seltzer water. I enjoy that. Sometimes I, you know, a lot of times I drink regular water, but I enjoy seltzer water. I got my little soda stream, and I make my own seltzer water. I enjoy that. But it's a far cry from all the sodas I used to drink.
Oh, I understand.
You know, but I like that,
I know where
that
I
kick
from.
Of the seltzer.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy life. Some sad people I know are vegans.
And just because you're just because you're a vegan doesn't mean that you're healthy, because a lot of the vegans they substitute meats and everything for candy or soda or chips.
Oh yeah, and pasta and rice and.
And that's just as bad.
Yep.
You gotta have a healthy mentality, because everybody, you know, whether we want to believe it or not, we're all going to eventually pass on. So we have to enjoy the life that we're living, because once you get to, like, counting things and you know, stressing out about what you're eating and how much of it you're eating, you're going to end up causing yourself to be stressed out and causing situations that you don't necessarily need within your body. So just moderation. And just enjoy life. Enjoy your food. Enjoy what you're eating.
Yeah. And, you know, these commercials that I see on TV about dieting, it's not about dieting. Dietings are like crutches. You know what? You know how dare they tell you, oh, I ate pizza and chocolate cake and this and that, and I still lost weight. You are lying. See, they play with your head.
I don't care if Oprah said it.
You know, they'll let you, you know, they'll make you think that, oh, yeah, you can keep eating all this stuff. But they're selling it to you, so they're making money on selling you these prepared meals, making you think that you can eat all this and it doesn't make a difference. And that's just not true, family. It's about behavior modification. The first thing that is a successful diet is for you to look in the mirror and love who you're looking at, no matter how you look. No matter what your weight, don't hate yourself. Love yourself so that you're willing to moderate your behavior to make a change in the way in which you conduct yourself. And when you get to that point, when you love yourself, that the stress on your job is not going to make you do things that will make you sad, because that's the other thing. When you want to start losing weight, you want to lose weight, but then you start looking up in the mirror and you hate what you see. And then you say, I'm not going to eat this. I'm not going to eat that. But you eat it anyway. All of a sudden now, you hate yourself because you think you failed. Because you said you weren't going to eat it, but you ate it anyway. Now you're weak. That's what you think. That you're weak. You got to love yourself. No matter what you look like. No matter how much you may want to change. You have to love yourself and decide that I'm just going to modify my behavior little by little, step by step. I'm going to modify it. And I'm going to begin to do the things that's going to bring health to me, because I love my family and my people, and my people love and my family love me, and I want to be around for as long as I possibly can. And I don't want to get to a point in my life where I'm going to say something that's very sad, and that is, I could have made things better. Two of the saddest words in the English language, too late.
Wow.
Do it now, because you deserve it. Everybody deserves a healthy, enjoyable life.
Wow. Well.
I'm sitting here eating an orange now.
I'm not even going to tell
you. Talk about this, it made me hungry. I'm eating the orange.
You guys know what I had for dinner because you brought me over there. So I'm not even going to say what I had for dinner. I know that I had for breakfast and lunch. I know that I bought two smoothies and one, and they both had carrot. It had carrot, almond milk, peanut butter, and agave, I think it was. So at least I had some carrots and almond milk this morning. But tonight, I had a nice little dinner.
Well, after I finish this orange, I'm gonna get me a coconut pecan cookie.
Okay, well, you know, moderation.
There you go.
Hey.
Moderation.
One cookie,
yeah.
And your mama probably gonna have a piece of it, so it's gonna be a part of a cookie.
Don't walk away from the cookie, because then you ain't gonna get none of the cookie.
but the reason why I'm saying this is because I enjoy my life. You have to enjoy life, because that's what makes you do for yourself what you do for yourself. Because in enjoying life, in loving yourself, you make the changes necessary. And like Michael Jackson said, it starts with the man, or if I can add, woman, in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Before you go out thinking you're going to change everybody, you first have got to alter the person you look at in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
But to do that, you must love that person and believe that person is deserving of all the great things that they should get. And when that happens, there is nothing that you cannot achieve. If you can visualize
that,
it
is true.
You will actualize. That's simple. That's science.
Wow. You got to write a book of all these things that you say, Daddy.
The Cobbism.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
But I'm so happy
so
to be
I
on.
I actually see that there's a couple of people. We're going to try to get as many comments as possible. There's actually a number of people on right now. Okay, so I'm gonna see who was holding on the longest. Let's see. If you have a question, so I see that the number ends in 6439. Did you have a question, or are you just listening?
Just listening.
Oh, okay. Thank you for listening.
Because the show is not on.
Oh, you were saying something, and I muted you. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, I was letting you know that the show wasn't really coming on online. It was some sort of weird music playing the whole time.
Oh, that's not good. Okay, well, I'm glad you listened anyway. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But could she have heard the show at this point, even though if it was interfered, is it still being interfered?
I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe you don't hear. I don't know. Well, let me see what Keith says. Oh, there's issues. Okay, so everybody, so then I don't know. Okay, so I'm just gonna go down the list. And if you have a question, ask a question. If you don't have a question, just say just listening. Who else is there? Okay. So 6400, are you just listening, or did you have a question? Oh, okay. I think everybody, all right. So because these people just came on, so I'm assuming everybody is just listening. Okay, so, you know, this was such a good topic. And I think it really, really is so important, because we focus so much on what's going on around us, and a lot of times we don't focus on what's going on inside of us. So I think that it is extremely important that we begin to take it more seriously. That's why when I went to that juice bar, it is such an amazing thing to see. Candace, you've been there before. You've been to that one, the Juices for Life on Castle Hill?
Are you talking to me?
That's my favorite. Yeah, I love the Juices for Life. Like, it's like every time I go there, I'm like, I'm so excited to have it. And then they give you more than how much you're supposed to. So you get like one and a half drinks.
Right.
Where is that located?
And they let,
it's
they let you try.
Castle Hill,
now,
right?
It's on Castle Hill. So when I take the 6 train, I end up walking down. So what is that? Is that I-95? Is that highway?
Canis
I-95? Like that's
in
the middle.
It's in between I-95 and what's that? Hutchinson, yeah. It's near Soundview.
Is that the one owned by the rap artist that Haru
always
talked about?
That's what I was just. Yeah, Styles P. That's he owns it.
Styles.
And what's amazing, Styles P. Because it's amazing. Because we were just talking about that earlier, Candace and Keith. The three of us were talking about that earlier. And, it's so important because Styles P was part of the Lox. Like, the Lox have been out forever. And, we were talking about it a little bit earlier in the show, too. They've been out forever. And he realized how important it was for Black people to be healthy. And he realized that there's not a lot of places for Black people to go to get health and to get, all the benefits of being healthy. He discusses being a vegan. He discusses all of that. Him and his wife discuss, all of those the concepts of being as healthy as possible. And it's a franchise. Like, Angela Yee and DJ Envy own one in Brooklyn. So, it is important for us to know that we have the ability not only to be healthy, but also to open businesses. Because I'm sure that since it's a franchise, if you have the ability and the funds and the place to be able to do it yourself, you can do something like that yourself. But, as a franchise owning a Juices for Life, because there's three of them. There's one in Brooklyn and there's two in the Bronx. There's one on Castle Hill and there's one in East Tremont. And it is and not only, because I've only been to the one on Castle Hill, not only are you going there and it's healthy, the people in there are great. The people in there are, they're just good people to engage with and to have conversations with, and they let you try out samples of things sometimes. If there's extra and the person doesn't want their extra cup, they'll give it to you and let you try it so that you know what to get next time. They give you good advice. It's just, and when you go in there, it's all people of color. It's the customers and the people that work there. And it's not to take away from whatever. I know people have their own concerns about it, but I just love going into establishments that are for us and by us and that are healthy, and it's not always a stereotypical place. So sometimes it's, whatever. You enjoy what you enjoy. But to have the balance of the health and that you can do other things on the weekend if you feel like it. But it's nice to walk in there. I literally walk 10 minutes each way, and it doesn't seem like a lot, but in the morning, at 7 o'clock in the morning, that is it's 20 minutes of walking, and I just put on Beyonce. There's two songs. I make it from the train to the juice bar in two songs. I do I forgot what it was called. One of them is Girls, that Run the World song. And that one, if you want to walk fast, just put that Beyonce song on and walk, because you will fly down the street, and by the time I get to the train, I'm out of breath. I did the song right before, and I forgot what it was called. But those two songs, I will get to where I need to get to in a matter of 7 minutes, and it takes longer. So I just think that it's so important for us to realize that there are things that we can do. And even with people don't understand that Whole Foods is not as expensive as they think it is. I'm telling you, the 365 brand is cheaper than what you get in the supermarket, and nobody believes me. And even and one other thing that I say, and Daddy, I think that you can attest to this, when you eat healthier, you don't want to eat as much. A lot of times when you're eating bad things with a lot of chemicals and with a lot of craziness, when you're eating those types of things, you want to eat more because, like you said, you're looking for something that you're not getting. So when you're eating healthy and when you're getting the proper nutrition, it's not just like, oh, this is a growing boy and he wants to eat a lot. That may be true, but if he's getting the proper nutrients, he's going to be satisfied earlier than if he's eating 10 Big Macs and not getting the proper nutrition. So I just think all of those things are really important.
Well, Yeah. No question. No question. I enjoy food. I really do. And I enjoy vegetarianism. I enjoy it. I've learned how to cook. I've learned spices. I've learned how to put things together. And basically, I cook for the most part, you know, because I enjoy cooking because I know what's in my food because I'm preparing it.
Exactly.
I enjoy that. So
you
that,
know
you know,
has
but
the hands on your food.
That's right. And my thing is, you know, it all goes back to behavior modification and moderation in all things that you do. Discipline. I really believe in that. And I just really enjoy being a vegetarian. I enjoy the foods that I eat. And also I'm very simple. I don't put no more than three things in my salad.
Me neither.
And I don't mix fruits and vegetables. Because lettuce and tomatoes, tomatoes is a fruit, and lettuce is a vegetable. So you can have a tomato and cucumber.
Lettuce and tomato. Mm-hmm.
You know, you can have tomato, cucumber, and green pepper. Those are all fruits. Mm-hmm. If it has a seed, it's a fruit.
No, thank you.
You know, I mean, you can just have tomatoes. And then, like, I like, you know, you can put romaine lettuce with some green leaf lettuce. Enjoy that. That's nice. But I have very simple salads. And I know it's a beautiful sight to see, you know, all these different things in your salad, all the different colors from the orange carrots to the red tomatoes to the green things and to the, you know, to the kind of cabbage, your green cabbage, red cabbage. Pretty, look real pretty, and I understand. And sometimes I eat that, but for the most part, I eat very simple salads with upwards of no more than three things that are in it. Very simple, but you see, that goes back to behavior modification. I've learned to enjoy simple things. You know, when I travel, like for instance, you know, this weekend when I was in Atlanta. The phenomenal hosts that brought your brother Heru and I in, they said, well, what do you eat? Because, you know, they know that I was vegetarian. What do you eat? And I told them, I'm very simple. I like a nice vegetable salad. I like a nice vegetable soup. I love my greens. It's not the season for watermelon, so we can't go there. But, I'm very simple to feed. You know, collard greens. String bean, you know, I just have simple taste. You know, you can live to eat or eat to live.
Mm.
I tend to eat to live. I don't live to eat.
Mm.
I do know that certain people just get up in the morning thinking about where they're going to have breakfast. Thinking about where
that
they're going to have breakfast.
That is true.
And on certain occasions, I do too. If I know something's going to happen that's going to be nice and I'm going to be someplace, I think about it. And so I understand that. But there are some people that get up every day and think like that.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Oh, today I ate at Murder King, I'll next place is going to be Crack Donald, or I think I saw this restaurant down the block. I really want to check them out. Oh, I've heard so much good thing about it. It's all right to enjoy food. But when you are living for that, there's a challenge.
That's true.
It's like someone who's living for crack.
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier. A lot of us have breakfast and then think about what we're having for lunch.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
But look,
such a good conversation, though.
When you're walking down the street, you smell the food.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, that sends messages to your brain. That sends messages to your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Time to eat. You know, when you look at the commercials on TV, they're sending messages to your brain.
Once I start talking about food, all of a sudden that hunger pain comes in. I'm like, I was not even hungry until I started talking about food.
That's right. They play
with
your head.
Wakes up like, hello. Right.
Right. Only reason I'm not feeling like that now is because I had dinner right before I got on the show.
See,
this is such a good show.
Yet.
We're definitely going to have to. Really?
No, I only eat once a day. I only eat once a day.
But you usually eat before you go out. But you usually eat before you go out.
No, I modified that. I haven't done that in months. No, I don't eat. I don't eat like
really?
I used to. Yeah,
wow.
I eat. Well, you see, my days are nights and my nights are days. So when
That's
I get
true.
Up, like I say, I get some coffee, seltzer water. I may bring with me some. Like I told you, I brought an orange with me. To eat now, in this time, and I also have this coconut pecan cookie.
I want to be like you
and
when I grow up.
But hey, listen, it's all behavior modification. And you know your grandmother, my mother was like that. She I don't ever remember my mother eating like that. My mother would eat when she was hungry. She would never just like because it's lunchtime she ate. She didn't do that. And so I think that I've taken up some of her concept, her genes about how she ate. She enjoyed it.
Aww.
She cooked. She cooked like, oh my goodness, chicken wing. Oh,
I've only heard about it.
Woo-wee. That was
I heard about it from everybody. From everybody.
Wow.
I've heard about it from everybody.
Potato salad. Oh, people used to come specifically to our house and get the chicken and the potato salad.
That's funny.
And my mother loved it. She would just put it in a dish for them. You know, they would always take it out with them. But she herself was not an eater. And I'm not either. I'm not really an eater. I do enjoy it, but I'm just not an eater. And I think that may be something that saves me. But I do enjoy it, but I just eat when I'm hungry. But I eat one meal a day now.
Some of us eat when we're stressed, when we're not hungry, when we're around other people. If we walk into the kitchen and there's bagels on the, I'm kind of talking for myself right now. There's bagels on the table that someone bought. Every Friday there's bagels. I just don't go into the kitchen because I know I'm good. It's like freshly made bagels.
Well,
so
tell me this.
I'm not going to go in the kitchen.
But is it possible that you could cut the bagel in half and have half the bagel? And if you did put butter or cream cheese or whatever, to put a very small amount of it on there?
Yes, and then I'd have to give somebody else because if it's sitting on the table, I'm like, but I already ate half of it.
Yeah, you just asked. Ask one of your coworkers. Would you like to share? Would you like to share a bagel?
Yeah.
You know, or
you
could take the whole one and put the other half away for when you come home, or you share with Chris or Caress or somebody that you may come in contact with. But the question is, do you have the discipline not to eat the whole thing and just smear it with butter or cottage cheese or great or something like that? See, that's what I mean when
I can't say. Yeah, no, you're right. And I cannot say that I will not eat the whole bagel.
Okay. Well, see, that's what you think about.
No, I know.
But, see, that's behavior modification.
Yes, it is.
Behavior modification is at the point where you enjoy it to the point you don't want to ruin it for yourself.
Yeah.
And so
you
just
start to resent yourself.
Yeah, you just eat half the bagel. You cut it in half. You wrap the other in a napkin. And you just have the discipline just to eat half. That's what you work towards. Because you shouldn't deny yourself something that you enjoy. If you enjoy it, you enjoy it. But you got to control it.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, your stomach will get to the point where you won't be able to eat all that you think you can eat.
Mm-hmm.
Your stomach will adjust itself to the life that it has lived. And if you... Like right now, my body is accustomed to eating one meal a day.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, when I go away, that's the one thing most people tell me they worry about me the most. Like when I presented on Saturday, I didn't eat all day. I didn't eat until I got back to the hotel at night. And she said, you know, I'm really concerned that you haven't eaten all day. And I said, well, I really eat rather later in the day. So this is how I do what I do because, you know, when I'm working, I'm working. But that's just something that we all have to do. Discipline is the key. Discipline and control. Immediate gratification. We just have to grow with that. And I understand we all have our weaknesses, myself included. Things that we may overdo. I understand that. But it goes back to self-love. You have to love yourself enough to decide that you're not going to do this to yourself anymore. There are people that need you in their life.
Yep, that is true. Yep. Now more than ever.
Now more than ever.
This is such a great conversation. And that's what I was going to say earlier. We're definitely going to, this might have to be, there might have to be a part two to this conversation because it's such an important topic, especially in our community. We need to talk about it more. And it's nice that more people are actually talking about it. So we're definitely going to definitely have a part two of this conversation. Does anybody have any parting words? Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to tell you this. That melanin acts as a glue. Carbon is a glue. Melanin is a glue. And when you have rich deposits of melanin and you are addicted to food, the melanin content in your body attracts your passion for the food. If you are a drug addict, it draws you. Well, the chemicals you have in your body is called dopamine. Dopamine is what gives you feelings of euphoria and pleasure. It is what drives the addictions and the passion, whether they be physical relationships, whether it be drugs or food, whatever it is. Rich deposits of melanin act as a glue to make you a more intense drug addict, a more intense eater, someone who is always looking for physical relationships. So in our conversation about melanin, it's also very important to understand that melanated people, as we look at them, the melanin in our bodies gives us a plasticity, a richness in our skin. That's why black don't crack. Because I shouldn't say plasticity. I meant an elasticity. And by that I mean if you put your finger up to your face and take your finger away, there'll be a mark there. But in black people, within a minute or so, that mark will go away because your skin has returned back to its original shape. And skin that has a lack of melanin, that mark can stay there for days because your skin can't recoup. It has no elasticity.
Wow.
With that same concept, melanin, this is why when we see women of African descent who are bordering on being heavily set in terms of their morphology, their physical body, it is because when you eat the food, because of the melanin, it acts double on the fat tissues in your body, which makes you grow larger.
Wow.
Which is why in the melanated community, you see particularly sisters, because first of all, sisters already have a very special body type in order to prepare for pregnancy. So you already have a richness of the tissue. So with the richness of the tissue, the level of melanin, and then the foods that you eat or overeat is going to cause you to be larger than you should. But black women could be, but for the most part, were not born to be skinny rails. You are known as what's called an ectomorph. There's an endomorph, which is small boned, a mesomorph, which is middle bone, and an ectomorph, which is big bone. Melanin is what assists the human body to be big bone. That's not to say that European women don't have it either. I'm not saying that either, because, again, European women also have the ability to get, but she also has the ability to bring forward life, which gives her that extra level of fat tissue, which she needs in order to have healthy children.
Mm.
So I just wanted to connect that melanin piece to help us understand that when you eat and you feel that feeling of satiation and you close your eyes, oh, that's good. When you're eating, that's dopamine. That's a chemical that is playing a trick on your mind. It's making you
bad.
Think it's satisfying you, but it's really not. But
bad.
dopamine gets pissed at you because they finally figure out that you tricked them. No, you didn't give me what I wanted. You just gave me make-believe food. And then what happens?
This sounds like a fight.
Go to sleep. Enough said. Just wanted to make that connection with melanin because I know that was in the title.
That's so crazy.
I think we should end it here.
That's crazy how you always tie things together. Like, that's amazing.
Right. I couldn't do that. My brain doesn't work like that. Like, by the time I get to the middle of the conversation, I've done forgot what the beginning of the conversation was.
That's funny.
Oh, you got it in. You all got it in you.
Okay.
Everybody got it in
you.
No,
not that memory.
Let it shine.
By the time I get to the end of the sentence, I forgot what the beginning was.
It's there.
That's amazing.
Wow.
But
that
all of it, just love yourself. It starts within. It starts in the mind, and we got it. We all got it in us.
Mm-hmm.
We got that. We got the melanin in us, and the GMOs don't mix. See, there we go. I brought it all together.
That's it.
I think we're all in too much of a good mood tonight. I think that's a perfect way to end the conversation, talking about the melanin. And everybody have a good night.
Hotep
good night,
family. See you next time.
See you next time. It's more fun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, look at that.
I wanna leave my footprints on the sands of time. Know there was something bad and something that I left behind. When I leave this world, I'll leave no regrets. Leave something to